Why is there a Santa Claus? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Why is there a Santa Claus? Well, the concept of Santa Claus means that we want to give, and we want to give anonymously. We want to give without anyone knowing that it's us that's giving it. And so we say Santa Claus gave it. And we say Santa Claus brought the presents, and we say Santa Claus filled our stockings and filled them, made them all nice. And that Santa Claus knows whether we're naughty or nice. And Santa Claus is the one. Well, now, this is just a way of bringing in a third party. And it's a way of bringing in a third party from the beginning of time. Because there was always some good angel, maybe the Christ child, stopping by. If some little child indicates a need of any kind and you are able to bless them in some way, then you are reminded that that quite likely was the Christ child that you were helping, because the Christ child gives us all an opportunity to reach out and help anonymously. Now, do you give gifts at Christmas time? Do you give gifts at any time? Do you give your brothers and sisters, your mother and father, your uncle and your aunts, your children, your husband, your wife, your whatever? Do you give presents to them? Well, I was in the real estate business for a long time. And in the real estate business, we had our ups and downs. We had sales, and then we had periods of no sales. And we always got by. We were able to earn enough money to do that. But when the sale came, then we could go out and pay all our bills and buy presents for ourselves and live it up so we can scrounge until the next time. But that was all part of the game. And I used to tell Mark, I say, Mark, I made a big sale. Now, what is it you'd like to have?
Wow.
And I'd say, Faith, what is it you'd like to have? She said, well, I need panties, and I need this, and I need that. I said, well, don't ever wait for the sale to get them, but let's go get them right now. Oh, no, no, we have other things to get first. Well, what is it you want to get? Well, I want to buy some music for the organ, because that's her first love, was the organ. And I said, well, super, let's go and get it. And so we'd go and get this and get that, and finally we'd end up getting what she said she needed. And really, it was the last thing on her list. When you want something from Santa Claus, you write Santa Claus a letter, and that letter goes to Santa Claus. It goes to Santa Claus right in your heart. And you have indicated in your heart what it is that would pleasure you at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And so the divine in you reveals to you how to accomplish that experience. It brings that to you. You have put the first cause in motion for the gift. Now, we say Santa Claus. Now, why is it that Jesus told the ministers, the rabbis and so forth, as they were praying on the street corners, he said, you already have your reward. He said, pray in your heart. Now, who ever heard such a dumb thing? To pray in your heart. Nobody can hear you there. You know, there's no rich man who's going to hear you praying in your heart and come up to you and say, I heard that you were praying and needed something, so here it is. You know, you got to pray out loud, like these ministers were thinking. You have to pray out loud and tell the world what it is. Well, the belief in Santa Claus, the concept of Santa Claus, is the concept of the teachings of Jesus. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. He was very definite on this. He was very definite about not going out and telling everybody what you need. Go in your heart, because you know better what you would like to have, and you know better what things you'd like to experience than anybody else. And I say, Sylvia, I would like a new jacket. My jacket is just all shot to pieces. So Sylvia, in the goodness of her heart, goes out and buys me a very nice jacket. It's got a big fur collar on it, you know. It's just really nice and got deep pockets in it, and it comes down to my bottom, you know. And I wanted a jacket that closed around my waist, you know. But no, she goes and gets this jacket, which is what she would like. And so she gives it to me, and she says, "Herb, I bought this for you." And I said, "Well, golly Moses, thank you so much. It's very kind of you, but I don't think I would ever wear it, you know." And she'd say, "Oh, well then, if you don't want it, may I have it?" And so, you see, Sylvia has gotten the jacket she wanted without asking anybody, you know. And she bought it as a gift for someone else who didn't want it. Now, has that ever happened?
Oh, yes.
Lots of things happen that way. My sister always did things that way. She bought me books on art, and she bought me pajamas, and she bought me all these things that I had no use for whatsoever, you know. And she knew it. But then she'd come by a week later, and she'd say, "Can I borrow the book? Or are you wearing your pajamas?" "No." "Well, may I? They're nice, cozy, warm ones." "Take them." I knew they were for her in the first place, you know. But that's sort of like Santa Claus. If you really want a gift or want anything, you think it in your heart. And you think it in your mind, and you think it in everything that you do. And then you let it be revealed to you. So, what kind of horse do you want? You want a pony? You want a pony that you can go riding on as a kid? Now, do you want a pony that's too tall so you can't get up on it? Do you want a pony that's too small so you can't ride on because he's too small too? Like a dog, you sit on his back and he won't carry your weight, you know? So you can't ride a dog. But what do you want? You know what you want. You know the just right pony. You know the just right jacket. You know the just right things that are important to you. Well, put those in consciousness. Put those into your thought. And let the divine reveal it to you. Because it always works. It always works. Our difficulty is, and this is only too true, our difficulty is we don't really want what we say we want. And so we don't get it. We don't really want a beautiful new fur coat. "Oh, I love that. Oh, it'd be so nice to have a beautiful fur coat," you say, you know. And you don't really mean that. Because if you had it, you wouldn't want it. Where would you wear it? How would you wear it? What would you do with it? You'd just hang it in the closet, if that, or you'd give it away to somebody who could use it. But you don't really want it. What do you want? Now, don't...
Maybe you don't feel worthwhile.
I'm sorry?
Maybe I don't feel worthwhile of a fur coat.
Maybe she doesn't feel worthwhile of the fur coat. Mm-hmm. And that's quite likely. She doesn't feel worthwhile of the fur coat. Now, if she felt worthwhile of the fur coat, what would she create herself doing? She'd create herself going to parties that people wear fur coats at, you know. She would create herself going in such a society or whatever that the fur coat would be a common thing to wear. And so naturally she'd have it. But when you don't have self-worth, which is quite common, then you don't have any of the gifts that come with being worthy. Now, what do you want? Now, I say to you, I'm happy that you don't have any self-worth. Because that means there's more for me. There's more for me, because then you don't, you're never wanting anything. You never get, "Oh, I could never get that. That would never come to me. Nobody would ever give that to me." And nobody does. Nobody does. And I say quietly in my heart, "Oh, everybody showers me with gifts. They shower me with things more than I can even imagine using. I'm just so blessed. Every time I turn around, somebody showers me with wonderful things, you know." And even when I was in Switzerland, I was working with Felix Eschbacher. And Felix was sponsoring my seminars and did a good job for me. And I had told the people that I was you know, longing for a little computer so that I could write my books. And all the people were telling me, oh, that'd be wonderful for you to have a computer. That'd be wonderful. And I said, well, that's the first thing on my list when I get home. I'm going to plan on buying one. And so they took a special offering among the students at the seminar. And there were 30, 40 people there. It's a good-sized seminar. And they gave enough money for me to buy the computer, which was $5,000 for just a laptop at that time, you know. And that was back in the 70s. And so they took an offering for it. And they gave me the money. And I looked at the money and I said, wow, how great! $5,000! And then afterwards, several people came up to me and they said, well, I gave $2,000, and I gave $3,000, and I gave, you know, $4,000, and where did the other money go? And so I said to Felix, I said, so-and-so said so-and-so, and what have you. Did they really give that amount, or were they pulling my leg? He says, yeah, they gave that amount, but you wanted $5,000, so I gave you $5,000, and the rest goes into operating the seminar. And I said, well, that's not quite kosher. You took the offering for the computer, not for the seminar, you know. And so he said, well, that's the way it is. And I said, okay, fine, you know. But you see, what happened? He struggles. He struggles with everything because he doesn't play ball the way he should. Now, I'm not trying to knock him. I'm not trying to put him down. We do that well enough to ourselves. But I'm just saying, what happened? Well, two people gave me two more checks, not checks, but money, two more chunks of bills, one for $3,000 and one for $5,000. So I had $8,000 in cash, aside from the $5,000 for the computer. And so I really took over quite nicely. It worked out very nice. It helped to operate the campus. It helped to send lessons to students who are on scholarships and things like that, and for the prisoners that I always worked with. And so that was a very fine blessing, you know. But at that time, that was a considerable amount of money.
Oh, yes.
Considerable amount of money. But these people are still my very devoted friends. They're still giving me wonderful gifts and giving it to the university. And it is such a wonderful thing. And those people who were so outgoing and honest with me, they have been in my strongest blessings and prayers, that I see them fulfilling every goal in their life. And all of them are just living in a very happy and harmonious world. And I'm grateful for that. I'm happy that my treatment works. But when people are truthful with me, I go the extra mile for them. I will just do everything for them. It's just like Gertrude, you know. Every time I turn around, I say, well, Gertrude, how are we doing? She said, oh, we're doing just fine. And I come to find out she's been filling the till, you know.
Yes.
And she's been paying the bills and doing the things, yes, and not charging the university. Yes. And I thought, my goodness, that's wonderful of you, but the university should pay for itself, you know. And she says, well, I like to do it. And I said, well, thank you. And she is in my prayers. She is in my blessing. Her family is my family. Her kids are my kids. They're on my doorstep as often as they can be. And I love them. And her grandkids, my goodness, we've been raising them here on the campus every time they come. Okay. And to every one of our seminars. They're beautiful, you know. And her kids may have struggled. They may have had their difficulties. But because we saw them always in the pure white light of love, they're coming out of it in a beautiful thing. And I can tell you, Gertrude Suter knows where Santa Claus lives.
You know? That is nicely said.
Temple.
How about that? And it's a very wonderful thing.
Nice.
So, all of us can be Santa Claus, and we are. But we can first start out being Santa Claus to ourselves by recognizing that We give anonymously, and we do everything beautifully, and the doors are wide open, and it just floods in, and yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Lovely.
So, have a nice evening, and know that I love you.
I love you too.
Eternally.